What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Talking a Bunch of Hoopla. I hope you liked the little note there that I presented you all. So this past week, well, at least this past weekend as well, we had the Anthony Joshua, Andy Ruiz rematch in Saudi Arabia. I'm going to go over kind of some Sunday NFL review and some playoff updates. Going to discuss some college football ranking updates, whether or not OBJ should leave Cleveland, and finally talk about what's going on in the NBA and with the New York Knicks. So let's just start with the Joshua Ruiz fight. Now, I'm not the biggest boxing fan, but I was excited to see how this could have went, mainly because it would have been nice to see Ruiz, you know, beat Joshua again, and then most likely he'd have to go and fight Deontay Wilder, and then if he had won that, which is not going to happen, of course, he would be like the 8 different champion of boxing. Because currently, Anthony Joshua, after he beat Ruiz, is the IBF, IBO, WBA, and WBO heavyweight title holder. That's a lot of titles for boxing. I still don't get why there's like 15 different like heavyweight titles in boxing. I'm sure there's an explanation for it, and I'm sure there's like some old tradition reason why they're like that, but until I Google research that, I still will not get it and don't understand. So with this Anthony Joshua Ruiz fight, the biggest thing that I noticed was that Ruiz didn't throw a lot of punches overall. It seemed like Joshua, from very early on, was dominating the majority of the fight. There was a couple of rounds where Ruiz fought really well, but Joshua pretty much contained all the momentum for like the whole fight, in my opinion. Because for total punches, Ruiz threw 261 and landed 60. 22 of those were body punches. Joshua threw 373 punches. 107 of those landed, while 17 were body punches. And then for jabs, Joshua threw 270, landed 65. 11 were body shots. Ruiz threw 131, landed only 23. 6 were body shots. And then for power punches, Joshua threw 103, landed 42, while Ruiz threw 130, landed only 37, while 16 were body shots. That is insane. Mainly because watching the fight, it very much felt that Ruiz had a plan of pretty much countering Joshua for the fight, and yet, you know, and having Joshua kind of be more offensive, while Ruiz would, like I said, counter and be more defensive with his punches. But that didn't happen. That didn't go the way he wanted to. And his plan failed. Like, the game plan just went to shit very fast. Because even the first round, he got cut. Yes, Joshua also was cut in the second round. But still in the first round, you're already getting cut. You're already getting, like, fucking domed up. You're getting pieced up in the first round. I also kind of felt like he didn't have that hunger that he had the first fight, in my opinion. You know, because obviously, once he beat Joshua, he kind of became this like new star. You know, he was the guy who didn't fit the part of like what a heavyweight champion is supposed to look like and all that stuff. He wasn't like a traditional looking champion, while Anthony Joshua was like this model, great looking guy. I'm sure his life just crushes in general. You know, he's like the generic looking guy that you expect to be like something like a heavyweight champion, you know, that like kind of guy you can promote a lot, because he's good looking and people want to see him win or see him lose. Ruiz, on the other hand, is a chubby, well, you can say fat guy, you know, tattoos, and, you know, he doesn't look the part, and then beats Joshua, is like the next underdog story, which I'm sure we'll get like a 30 for 30 in like the next 10 years about this fight. And then, you know, now he's a star. Now he's all great. Everyone loves him. He's super big on social media now. And then now he's kind of back to square one, in a sense. I'm not saying completely, but I think he really needs to kind of take a step back, you know, get his, you know, everything back in order mentally, and kind of calm down from like the clout attack he got when he won, and kind of just, you know, hopefully get a different game plan if he gets a third fight, which I'm sure he will. I wouldn't be surprised. The face Eddie Hearn made, though, at the end of the fight when talking about it, like, it may seem like he won the lottery and he's like, yo, I just got fucking paid. Let's run this shit back one more time, please. And thank you. Because my wallet is looking a little small. Even though I just got paid a lot, I need some more money in my fucking pocket. Because I know he was the promoter for the KSI Logan Paul fight. Which, if you're not sure who they are, they're a bunch of YouTubers who started to do boxing. And then that was like super successful with that. And it was also on DAZN, as was the Joshua Ruiz fight. And now I'm sure we're going to get a trilogy fight. And then whoever wins that one will probably face Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder will just keep beating the shit out of other guys until he gets Anthony Joshua or Ruiz, depending on how those fights go. So we'll see how that ends up with that. I don't know. It was kind of a disappointing fight, but it's that seems to like happen a lot when it comes to these kind of like rematch fights where like the underdog wins and now he's like the, you know, a story champion for a bit and everyone in like the, you know, pop culture loves him until, you know, the guy who he beat is real fucking pissed because he lost his title. And now he's, you know, re-motivated and now he's taking it more serious. He's like, all right, I was fucking around for a bit, but now we're back. And I'm coming back for my title, whether you like it or not. Here I am. So that happened. Not really shocked. But boxing in general, to me, it's still kind of confusing because what's the deal with these filler fights before the main event? Because before the Ruiz-Joshua fight, there was like this four-round fight where this 18-year-old kid fought a 31-year-old, allegedly. The dude looked like he was 50 years old and had grandkids. And then when he knocked him out, the dude like flailed, you know, onto the floor. It's like, I'm not saying the kid didn't knock him out. I'm sure he did. But the guy's like made it seem like he just died. Like, bro, I mean, again, I'm not saying the kid didn't rock a shit. He probably could have, but the way it looked like he hit him good, and then the guy he hit was just like, okay, now I gotta sell it more. It's like, this isn't a WWE. Just get knocked the fuck out. Just go on the ground. You don't have to make a scene. Just, I mean, I say this as if I'm some fucking KO expert, and I'm not, but it just looked weird to me. The fact that boxing does these filler fights is still very confusing to me, but if you're a boxing fan, please explain that to me. I don't really understand that at all, but let me know your thoughts. You know, what was your thoughts on the whole, you know, Ruiz-Joshua fight? Do you think there'll be a third one, or do you think, nah, I think we're good with the two that we got. We're fine, and we can move on and let Joshua fight Wilder for once, and then we can move on with our lives, and Ruiz can try to, you know, get his way back to the title, or should there be a trilogy fight? You know, should they go all, you know, three fights? And then whoever wins that will face Wilder or Fury or whoever. And then, you know, we can go from there. Please let me know your thoughts on that. And let's just jump right into, you know, NFL Sunday today. All right, NFL fans. It's currently week 14 of the NFL regular season. This past Thursday, the Bears beat the Cowboys 31-24. Which, I mean, here's the thing with Jason Garrett and the Cowboys. Jason Garrett has proven he cannot win with this team. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they're really going to do anything if Jerry Jones is still in the positions he is. Now, am I saying he should sell the team? I don't really care whether he does or not. But being the GM and president and whatever the fuck else he is, you're not going to do that and be successful. I'm sorry. You know, you need other people who are more experienced than you and have, at least, in my opinion, have more, like, at least a better IQ when it comes to all this than you. Because it comes off very biased and all that he's just doing everything himself. And also, he's employed his family, too, within the company. I'm sure they're doing a fine job, but obviously, who they have in the front office and as they're, you know, on their coaching staff cannot do anything with the team that they have. You know, they have a decent or really good quarterback in Dak Prescott. You have a really great running back in Ezekiel Elliott. Jason Witten came out of fucking retirement to help y'all, and it's not working. Your defense isn't that bad. I believe there's some injury issues within defense, but that shit just happens. So there really isn't anything you could do about that. And wide receiver-wise, you know, Randall Cobb, you know, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, all great wide receivers in my opinion. You know, Amari Cooper's been playing really great for the Cowboys, and it seems like he'll probably be there for a long time. And it's like, y'all can't figure it out. It kind of reminds me of the Steelers for a while. You have Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and you can't do shit with them. Like, sure, you can play great in the regular season. That's all fine and dandy. But when it comes to the playoffs, y'all shit the bed every time. I just don't understand that at all. I'm sorry, I really don't. So until the Cowboys figure it out, which I don't really think they will anytime soon, that's just going to be their story until they do. So good luck, Cowboys fans. I wish the best for you all. Your reality is you're not really a great, you know, team right now. But hey, eventually, quote-unquote America's team will turn it around at some point, I'm sure. Kellen Moore maybe isn't the, you know, the answer to your problems, but I'm sure someone will figure it out. Maybe get Jerry Jones' head out of his own ass for once, but that's just my opinion on that. On to the rest of the NFL, though. You had a big game today between Baltimore and Buffalo. Baltimore won 24-17. There were some calls, though, that, you know, the referees kind of missed a bit. But, hey, Baltimore is 11-2, and as a Ravens fan, I'm ecstatic right now with how they're playing. They're 11-2, three games away from being 14-4. They play the Jets on Thursday, so hopefully, you know, they can come back strong on Thursday, beat the Jet, and keep it moving. And then after that, Packers beat the Redskins 20-15, which, by the way, is way too close, I feel like, for a Green Bay team that's, at least I thought, was really good this year. Yes, they did win, and that's obviously most important, but you almost lost to the Redskins. That's not something you really want to say for a team that's supposed to make a playoff run. That's just how I see that. Next, you have the 49ers beating the Saints 48-46 with a Robbie Gould field goal to win at the end of the game. Shout out to them. Shout out to Joe. Jimmy G played lights out. Had like over 300 yards, like four touchdowns. Went 24-36, I believe. Dude was balling the fuck out today. Browns beat the Bengals 27-19. Okay, that's not really important. Panthers lost to the Falcons today 40-20, solidifying their elimination from the playoffs this year. Jets beat the Dolphins 22-21. So, you know, they're kind of up and down, it seems like, for some odd reason with the Jets. You know, they'll play well for a few games and then shit the bed when it comes to playing the worst team in the league, and then come back and beat the Jets by a point. So I don't know how the fuck they're going to play against Baltimore. I'm very confused by this team, so that's with that. The Chiefs beat the Patriots today, 23-16. Now, I didn't catch the whole game, to be completely honest. I was kind of in and out because I was working on some stuff for all the podcasts and YouTube stuff. But nonetheless, I know there's a lot of calls that people felt the refs missed a lot of. I know one of the big things was the N'Keal Harry, play where he scored a touchdown, but the ref said his foot was out. Yeah, if you watch the replay, his foot was clearly in. So there's that, among other calls that, you know, were missed. But hey, Patriots fans, shit just happens. All right, I'm sure some fans are saying, oh, the refs are going out for the Patriots, or they had it out for them, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's like, hey, blown calls happen all the fucking time. It seems like, and I know I'm a little biased because I have a dislike for the Patriots, but seeing Patriot fans, when it happens to them, they seem to complain more than when it happens to the team that the Patriots are playing. You know, if this was happening to the Chiefs today instead of the Patriots, Patriots fans would be singing a different song right now. They'd be like, oh, why are you complaining? Why are you know, you missed, that's not what happened, blah, 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 or that call's bullshit. You know, that actually didn't happen. It's like, hey, bad calls happen, accept it, move on. You know, you're still probably going to make the playoffs. You're more than likely going to win the division. I really don't see the Bills, you know, taking over the AFC East this year, personally. Not that the Bills are bad, just how the Patriots play and how they are, at least over the last decade or so, they're probably going to be squeak it out in the last moment and be AFC East champions, and then probably get the second seed, it seems like. I don't know, we'll see with that. After that, you have the Titans beating the Raiders 42-21. Arizona Cardinals, low-key fuck you. Mainly because if you would have beat the Steelers today, Baltimore could have won the AFC North. But hey, for Baltimore to win the AFC North is just to beat the Jets on Thursday. And then from there, you know, they're AFC North champions, so that's fine. Currently, the Rams are playing the Seahawks, and the Rams are completely beating the dog shit out of the Seahawks. Right now, it's currently 28-9. It's the fourth quarter with like 8 minutes and 45 seconds left. Russell Wilson so far is 19 for 28 for 203 yards. Chris Carson has 14 carries on 71 yards. DK Metcalf is their leading receiver right now with 5 receptions for 69 yards. On the Rams side, we have Jared Goff. Jared Goff going 22 for 31, 293 yards, 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions at the moment. Apparently Cooper Kupp threw a pass. I didn't see it because I'm currently recording, so I'm kind of missing the game, as I said. Todd Gurley currently has 20 carries for 76 yards and a touchdown. Malcolm Brown, 2 carries, 1 yard, 1 touchdown. Congrats to him. Tyler Higbee, 7 receptions, 116 yards. And Robert Woods, also 7 receptions, 98 yards. So good on the receiving core right now for the fucking Rams. They're balling out against a Seahawks team they lost to not too long ago. No, this is just showing, hey, the Rams really want that fucking playoff spot, and they're busting their ass to do it. So, you know, shout out to them for that. Let's see who's the Monday game real quick before I, you know, continue on to the next topic. Currently, the Monday night game is the Giants and Eagles. The fact that the Redskins, Eagles, and Cowboys all have a shot at the NFC East title and a playoff spot is fucking amazing. Do I think either of those teams will make a deep playoff run? Absolutely not. Cowboys will probably get eliminated within the first round. And then, oh no, we're bad, and Jason Garrett will probably get fired. But I also believe there's a report that came out that said he won't be the coach if they don't make the NFC Championship this year. So I really don't see them beating the 49ers or the Saints or the Seahawks or the Vikings in the playoffs, personally. I just don't see it. Unless they somehow, when it comes to playoffs, pull some shit out of their ass, decided, you know what, we're going to play again. All right, guys, let's figure out what the right plays are. Then let's study more film, apparently, or do something different than what we've been doing. And let's fucking win, okay? Let's fucking win. Please, my sanity and my job is at stake, people. But I don't think that's going to happen because it's more of like a Giant thing to happen where Giants can go in the playoffs like 7-9, 8-8, and then just fucking crush everybody in the playoffs. But we'll see what happens with that. In this coming week, though, the big games that I see that are really going to affect the playoffs is you have the Bills and Steelers next Sunday at 8:20. That's a big game for both those teams, honestly, because they're both going for a wild card spot at this point. And whoever wins is definitely, I feel like if the Steelers lose, though, that'll be more effective in the wild card race than it will be if the Bills lost, because there's so many teams that are close behind the Steelers that can swoop in at the last second to take that wildcard spot over Pittsburgh. Let's see what else. We also have the Rams Cowboys at 4:25 next Sunday. That's also a big game. Obviously, if the Cowboys lose, that'll give the Eagles a better chance to win that division if they perform well for the rest of the week, which I don't know if they will, but, you know, it is what it is. You also have the Vikings-Chargers, which is, you know, important for both those teams. Let's see what else we got here. Broncos-Chiefs. Chiefs pretty much are in the playoffs. They won their division, so they're good with that. Eagles Redskins is a big game because either team will, you know, especially if, like, say the Eagles win, Cowboys lose, that gives the Eagles now a closer chance to win that division. Texas Titans is a big game. They're going for the AFC South right now, so that's still up for grabs. So we'll see how that goes. Besides that, I think you have like the Packers and Bears. I know the NFC North isn't at the moment claimed, so that's still up for grabs. Again, there's, you know, especially if you're in fantasy football, these are big weeks coming up, these next couple of weeks. You know, a lot of teams are going to be making moves. A lot of teams are going to be winning divisions. A lot of teams are going to be losing divisions. And then the playoff race will start, and then everyone will freak out more about what's happening than we already are. I know the MVP race is still in a tight, you know, tight race between Russell Wilson and my quarterback. My favorite quarterback, Lamar Jackson. You can tell there's zero bias in me saying that at all. Not because I'm a Ravens fan. Even though he did just break the single season record for rushing yards as a quarterback that was previously held by Michael Vick. So shout out to Lamar Jackson one time. Thank you, thank you. I said thank you as if I'm Lamar Jackson and that I am now the, you know, a record holder, which I'm not. I wish, but I can't run for shit. I'm fat and I can't run. So I don't know why I said that with a southern accent. You know, I can't really run fast. I'm also fat. I love me some football on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. I love Texas. That's also offending everybody in, I'm sure, the state of Texas. So I apologize to anybody who listens there, because I'm sure I just pissed one of your cousins off or whoever the fuck listens to this. You also got Houston Texans playing well. So there's that. Currently in the standings, let's pull it up real fast. The Bills are a game behind the Patriots in the AFC East race. Chiefs, like I said, won the AFC West. Ravens are pretty much a lock for the AFC North as long as they beat the Jets this Thursday. AFC South is still up for grabs. Both the Texans and Titans are 8-5. So pretty much whoever wins that will be the leader of the AFC South division. Let's see what else we got here. That was the AFC. NFC. Cowboys and Eagles for the NFC East are still very close. Redskins are pretty much out of it, I believe, at this point, after re-evaluating my reading skills, because they're currently 3-10, and I think they're pretty much out. I don't know, because the Cowboys could lose out, as, you know, the Eagles could win one and then lose the rest of the game, so I don't know how that's going to work out. 49ers, Seahawks are still very close into, you know, switching positions for the NFC West. Rams could get us, you know, wild card position if possible. NFC North is still up for grabs. You know, Vikings are a game behind the Packers. They're 9-4. Packers are 10-3. And NFC South, Saints 10-3, Buccaneers 6-7, Panthers 5-8, Falcons 4-9. Saints pretty much have the NFC South. That's pretty much a lock. You know, these next couple of weeks are very important. I wish the best of luck to all of you fantasy football owners, because whoever's in the playoffs, I'm sure you're maybe low-key freaking out depending on, you know, where you're at in the waiver system at the moment and, you know, what injuries you're probably going through. Because at least in my league, I know a lot of the people in my league are dealing with injury issues, as I am myself. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster's out. I picked up Darius Geis in waiver wire. Thankfully, I didn't start him because he got injured. I think he sprained his MCL, if I'm correct. I know Josh Jacobs was questionable. I don't remember if he played or not. Who else was hurt? I know there's a bunch of other players hurt at the moment that I can't think of, but you get the big old gist of it. You know, obviously, if you know someone who's in a fantasy football league in the playoffs, you know, whether it's your significant other, whether it's yourself, whether it's a friend, a coworker, you know, whoever it is, you're maybe like a family member you may kind of talk to sometimes about sports, but you kind of really don't talk to them all the time. You know, just give them some words of encouragement. It's a rough time right now. There's, you know, some overthinking going on. There's some panic. There's some kind of like, oh, fuck. All right. I don't know what to do now. I may lose this wild card spot, this first round game, because this person isn't performing, but I still have one player tomorrow and they need just this certain amount of points to win. Have the utmost faith in you as a person and as a fantasy football owner. All I'm going to say is stick with your gut. Go with your first option. Just like they tell you in school, if you have an answer that you're pretty sure it is, stick to the first option, because 9 times out of 10, statistically, 18 times out of 10, you're going to get it right. So do that. Stick to your guns. If you feel that you want to start Julio Jones next week, start fucking Julio Jones. Maybe that's not the best decision, but hey, only one way to find out. Am I right? Yes, thank you. That's it for the NFL segment of this podcast today. Actually, incorrect, because I'm going to, I fucking lied. Because I'm stupid and I can't read my notes, apparently. Next, I'm going to briefly touch on the whole OBJ leaving Cleveland thing, do a quick update to the college football playoff rankings, and then do a quick little rant about the Knicks and what the fuck is happening with them, because it's just getting worse. So for the college football playoff, we have some update to the four right now. So we have LSU at number one, previously number two. Ohio State is number two, previously number one. Clemson stays at three. Oklahoma moved up from 6 to 4 after beating Baylor, who is now number 7. So they didn't really move too much. They didn't actually move at all. Oregon made a huge jump. They went from 13 to 6 after they beat Utah. And Utah went from 5 down to 11. There's been a lot of movement. Oh, what else do we have here? Let's see. So we're currently running, like, ranking out the top 10. We have LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, Oregon, Baylor, Wisconsin, Florida, and Penn State. If the college football playoff was today, it'd be LSU versus Oklahoma and Ohio State versus Clemson. Oh, God, that's tough, because Oklahoma is a great team. Jalen Hurts has been playing well. CeeDee Lamb has been also playing well. Their defense is solid. LSU has been just dominating the shit out of people this year. Joe Burrow, it looks like he's going to get the Heisman this year the way he's been playing. And LSU's, like, front line is just ridiculous this year. They're so stacked. Ohio State versus Clemson is going to be interesting, because you have, you know, guys who came out at the same time, I believe. I think, if I'm correct, for the ranking for, I don't know why I'm blanking on this all of a sudden, for the high school ranking coming into college, it was Justin Fields first and then Trevor Lawrence second, or vice versa. So it'll be a battle of like the two top quarterbacks coming out of high school last season. So it should be interesting. We'll see how that goes. But if I had like a gun to my head, had to pick who I think's going to the championship, if the playoffs were today, like I said, probably say it'd be LSU versus probably Ohio State. I just think Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins have been playing phenomenally this year. And having Chase Young on your team definitely, you know, brings that level of please don't fucking hit me as hard as you can, because I may die, you know, kind of feeling that you get when you're a lineman going across and you're like, fuck, I gotta defend this fucking guy, the guy who's leading sacks right now. I'm fucking good. I'm good on that. Possible first overall pick in next year's draft, depending on how that goes, of course. But it's gonna be interesting. It's interesting also too that Alabama dropped a spot. They went from 13. No, I'm dumb. They went from 12 to 13. Thank you, John, for not being stupid. You're welcome. Thank you. I just talked to myself, my own podcast. That's not weird at all. You know, I'm not. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to continue now. So back to all that. This is going to get interesting. It looks like, though, from like a lot of like the other awards that are being, you know, finalized right now with like the finalists, looks like Joe Burrow is at the moment in the lead for the Heisman, unless Jalen Hurts or Trevor Lawrence pull some shit out of their ass, or even J.K. Dobbins, or even, hey, Justin Fields. They all do something just to blow Joe Burrow out of the water, because it looks like Joe Burrow is the guy that's going to win the Heisman this year. And by the way, high key, fuck Gary Danielson, because he was talking during the LSU-Georgia game that Joe Burrow has broke the mold for what a quarterback is. That doesn't make any sense at all, because that's not even true. He's a great quarterback, yes, but he's not this like revolutionary guy who's changing the way the quarterback position it will be played for the next 40 years. Because if that's the case, you want to name players who are breaking the mold. You have like Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, guys who can pass really well, but also can destroy you on their feet. You know, we're used to seeing pocket passers, guys who drop back seven steps, maybe do check down pass, maybe bomb it down the field, maybe, you know, do however kind of play they want to run. You know, and that's the quarterback we see. It's like always like some 6'4", super tall white guy from like California. It's like, that's not really mold breaking. I'm fairly certain that Joe Burrow's not from California. I'm sure he's from the South, but nonetheless, he's not a mold breaker. Sure, he's a great quarterback and will probably be the first quarterback taken in this draft in 2020. In no way is this man a mold breaker. Maybe he's a mold breaker for LSU quarterbacks. You can kind of make that argument. They haven't had the greatest history of quarterbacks, i.e. Jamarcus Russell. That I can give you. I'll give you that argument, but you're not saying overall as a quarterback, because he has not. Shit, even Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow really broke the mold too for what a quarterback is. And I can keep naming other quarterbacks, but I will not do that, because then we'll just be listing other great quarterbacks in college football, and no one wants to hear me do that. So, exactly. I'm saving your time. So, next and finally, I'm going to get into this whole Odell Beckham Jr., Cleveland to possibly New England thing. As I've mentioned in previous parts of this podcast, I was going to talk about the Knicks. On Tuesday, I'm going to release a video on my YouTube channel just dedicated to that itself, and just how I think the Knicks can be fixed, hopefully, you know, from the opinion of someone who isn't the biggest basketball fan. So that should be interesting. So look out for that. So OBJ, as I'm sure if you are aware, if you are an NFL fan, hasn't contributed very much to the Cleveland Browns this year. I mean, neither has most of the players on the team, because they don't have the greatest record. You know, coming in, it was, you know, speculated and reported how, oh, Jarvis Landry and OBJ are teaming up again. So it's this next great, you know, wide receiver tandem in the NFL. You know, they're best friends, they're going to play great, they're going to bring Cleveland to a Super Bowl, and they're going to live happily ever after. Y'all forgot that they play for the Cleveland Browns. I don't know what happened with them, I don't know what's going on, but expected, they're shitting the bed. And that's not surprising. Is Freddie Kitchens the answer? Doesn't fucking seem like it. Doesn't seem like anybody's the answer. To be honest, and I have a weird theory when it comes to this, I think for the Browns to win again, they need their star player's last name to be Brown and their head coach to be Brown, for Paul Brown and Jim Brown. Because they were good when they had those guys. When the Browns were running the Browns, they were fucking crushing it. Jim Brown was like doing things at the running back position that nobody does. Paul Brown was, you know, a great coach, changing the way coaches are in the NFL, and they were winners. But since they both left, they're losers. They haven't been winners in a long time. I mean, they had 2007, but that's because Peyton Hill has decided, I'm going to play really well this season, and I'm going to fucking dip right afterwards. So thanks for putting me in the Madden cover, though. Totally dope. But back on topic, I honestly wouldn't be surprised seeing OBJ go to New England. Not very hard to figure out that OBJ wasn't very happy in Cleveland, mainly because he's not being utilized properly or well at all. You know, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. You know, he's one of the, you could say he's a top five receiver when he's, you know, healthy and active. And the fact that they didn't do anything with him, and Jarvis Landry honestly played better statistically than OBJ has. And OBJ's having, honestly, like the worst like year of his career so far, which is insane to say. I don't know what's going on with Cleveland. I don't know how they're going to fix themselves. Maybe trading OBJ is the answer. You know, they'll free up that cap space. You know, maybe they get some draft picks for him. You know, move on from that. Because I don't know what else they can really do to fix themselves. Nor do I honestly care. Personally, as a Ravens fan, I'm cool with it. And to clarify, to all the people who say the Ravens were just the Cleveland Browns, you're incorrect, because once the Cleveland Browns moved to Baltimore, they became the Cleveland... Wow, I'm fucking rushing because I'm so angry talking about this. Once Cleveland moved to Baltimore and then became the Baltimore Ravens, the records that Cleveland had up to 96 were not followed to the Ravens, okay? It's proven that the Browns just ceased operations for a couple years, because in 1999 they came back, and then, you know, here we are. Baltimore Ravens are not the Cleveland Browns. I don't care what anybody says. Just because Art Modell was still the owner and Ozzie Newsome was like, hey, I want to win, so I'm coming to Baltimore. They didn't have to fire Belichick, but obviously it worked out for the best. Here's my take on that. But I wouldn't be surprised if New England shelled out like a first round and a third round in this year's draft, and then like whatever in 2020 for like a sixth rounder or whatever the fuck. And then OBJ goes to New England. They'll make it far in the playoffs. They maybe win a Super Bowl together, and then OBJ will probably either retire or like go to another team or something. You know, do what Randy Moss couldn't do, even though none of that was really Randy Moss's fault, in my opinion, because he had a great year that year. He had 23 touchdowns, but, you know, that's not the point here. But also, I feel like it'll be kind of upsetting for Cleveland fans if OBJ just left after a year. It's like, hey, I tried. I gave you guys a year. I'm not going to keep wasting my fucking time playing for teams that are not successful. He wants to go play for a team that is going to win, and I totally understand that. When especially athletes, they don't know how much longer they have in the league or how much time they have left, you know, performing at the level they do before something happens injury-wise, or, you know, they may lose their love of the sport or something, or, you know, something else. Maybe outside of the, you know, football thing happens, God forbid. I mean, would I be pissed as an NFL fan if OBJ went to New England? 100,000 fucking percent. It'll still be entertaining to watch, seeing Tom Brady, you know, finally have a, you know, number one receiver since Randy Moss back in 2007. And yes, I'm saying Edelman is not the number one receiver, because obviously when Gronk was around, that was his role. So that's that. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this offseason goes, to be honest. I'm sure a lot of changes will be made. A lot of trades will be interesting, especially during the draft, depending on how teams go that way. I don't know. It also depends still on who like still stays or declares. There may be some surprising players, who decide to stay for their senior seasons. It's very possible. But let me know your thoughts. You know, do you care if OBJ goes to New England? Do you not give a shit at all? Are you a Cleveland fan, or are you upset at him for what he's done to you? All you college football fans, you know, what's your take on the playoffs so far? Do you like where the top four are at? You know, do you think someone's being snubbed? How do you feel about Alabama dropping to 13 too? Because that's a big thing too. It's very surprising. Pretty much all I have for today. Thank you for making it this far if you did. I'd appreciate it a whole lot if you shared it, you know, rated it on Apple Podcasts and wherever other places you are able to rate podcasts. You know, like I said, share it with your friends, family, anybody in your life who is a sports fan. Hopefully they would enjoy this. And come back next week, and please feel free to tweet me or message me on Instagram suggestions for future podcasts, things you want me to talk about, things you want me to discuss, or things you want me to rant on, or, you know, anything and everything. Please feel free to do that. Again, thank you if you made it this far. I truly do appreciate it. And I will see you all next Monday. And also, be on the lookout for this video about the Knicks and how they're bad. And, you know, maybe there's time for them to come back and maybe, you know, redeem themselves. You know, maybe get a couple good years in and maybe win an NBA Finals. I know that's a tough task, being the Knicks. But, hey, crazier things have happened. So, thank you, and I'll see you all next week.